Good morning. I hope that you are glad to be here today because we are glad that you are here. We're glad that you have chosen to be with us this morning as we worship Almighty God and as we study His Word together. As we begin, I want you to think back. I realize for some of us that might be longer than others. I want you to think back to the days when you were dating. You remember those days when you were dating and you really liked someone and you wanted to ask them out? And so you finally got up the courage to ask them out and they turned you down. Maybe it is that you were dating someone and you really, really liked them. And then they dumped you all of a sudden. Do you remember how that felt? Maybe you have experienced that today. Maybe it is that you were dating someone for a while and you were deeply, deeply in love with them. And then things ended. Maybe it is that your relationship began in what seemed to be a good, loving relationship. And then things fell apart. And it ended in divorce. Do you remember the pain and the hurt and the suffering from such experiences? Today, I want us to think about the greatest love story of all time. The greatest love story of all time. This is a story, remember, it's not void of pain and suffering in and of itself. For pain and suffering, too, came out of choices in this story. But this is a story about a love that would last forever. A love that would never and will never turn away. Go in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. You can't talk about love and not talk about John, chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 John. But I want us to look at John chapter 3 this morning. Actually, I want us to begin at the end of chapter 2 in verse 23 because I think it sets up our text in John chapter 3. John chapter 2 and verse 23, notice it if you will. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now, let's stop right there for a moment. There are two things in this text I want us to get this morning. Now, my mind was blown away in studying this passage and all the things that we could talk about. And you just can't do it justice in 30 minutes. So I'm going to pick out two things that I want us to remember this morning about the greatest love story of all time from John chapter 3. Number one, here it is. Did you catch it? The Lord knows man. The Lord knows man. Many believed in his name when they saw the signs. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. The Lord knows the heart of man. The Lord knows what it is that motivates man. Did you catch? There's some similar words there. John tells us that many believed when they saw the signs. But verse 24, it says of Jesus that he did not commit, that's the same word as believed. He did not commit himself to them. In other words, it may read like this. They believed in Jesus, but he didn't believe them. Why did they believe? Only because of the signs. Only because of these signs that he had done. Then John introduces us a man by the name of Nicodemus. In John chapter 3. And I want us to think about this as we think about the Lord knows man. Let's illustrate it this way. Do you remember back in 1 Samuel chapter 16? Do you remember that time when God comes to Samuel and he says, I'm no longer going to be with Saul. I want you to go to the house of Jesse because there's another I want to anoint king. So he goes down to the house of Jesse, and after Jesse is consecrated, after Samuel has consecrated Jesse and his sons, he brings one of them out. The first son comes out, Eliab. Imagine the scene. Eliab comes back out. Samuel's looking for the next king, and Eliab, when he comes out, Samuel goes, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Wouldn't you imagine that Samuel was pretty shocked when God came back to him in verse 7? And he said, don't look at his appearance or his physical stature, for I have refused him. For the Lord doesn't see as man, for man sees and looks on the outward appearance. But here it is, the Lord looks at the heart. What are you saying, John? The Lord knows man. He knows the heart of man. He knows what motivates man. He knows us. He knows our heart. Nicodemus, look at him. Chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So this man named Nicodemus, and remember, he's a man, and the Lord knows man. And what does it tell us about Nicodemus? It tells us he's a Pharisee. He's a part of that elite party of the religious people of the Jews. They believe themselves to be the separated ones. Don't miss it. The separated ones. Why? Because of their strict adherence to the law. Nobody follows the law like us, therefore, we are separated from them. Not only did they feel that they were the separated ones because of that, but they thought also because they of their strict adherence to their oral laws that they had added to the law, Matthew 15 and Mark 7. The Bible tells us that Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He had been elevated to that position of leadership. Likely, he was on that governing body of the Jews known as the Sanhedrin Council. So Nicodemus was not just some Joe Smo. Nicodemus was a special man in the Jewish religion. A Pharisee. They wanted to do and follow the law as strictly as possible. And those that would not, they looked down upon. And then Nicodemus was also a part of this leading body of the Jews. Notice how he comes to Jesus. The Bible says he comes to Jesus by night, and there's very different ideas of why Nicodemus came by night. But I want you to notice how he addressed Jesus. He said, Rabbi. Now, this means teacher, but it's also, are you ready? It's also a title of honor and respect. This great teacher of the Jews, this great teacher of the law, this great person who wants to follow the law as strictly as he can, he sees Jesus and he calls him out of a title of respect, Rabbi. And notice he also admits something else. We know that you are a teacher from God. Because if you were not a teacher from God, no one else can do these signs unless God is with him. We know that. Remember, what's the point? The Lord knows man. Nicodemus believed. Do you believe? Nicodemus believed. Do you believe? Nicodemus believed in Jesus, but he was not ready to fully commit to him. Maybe that was part of the problem. Maybe that was the reason that Jesus responds the way he does in verse 3. Jesus answered him saying, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The Lord knows man. I'm reminded of a similar story back in Matthew chapter 16, or Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. The rich young ruler, you remember that? This gentleman does come to Jesus and he asks a question. Did you notice also that Nicodemus, he had not asked Jesus a question? And Jesus answered a question. For Jesus knew, must have known, that there was a question deep in the heart of Nicodemus. The rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus and he does ask him a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Keep the commandments, Jesus says. Which ones? Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. I love that story because I can just see in that rich young ruler, I can just see he's thinking, yes, I've done it. I've done this from my youth. Jesus says you still lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. What was the point? You believe me, rich young ruler. But there's still something in your life. There's still something in your life that's keeping you from being fully committed to me. It's your stuff, rich young ruler. It's your stuff. You care more about your possessions because your possessions are possessing you instead of me possessing you. The Lord knows man, Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, "Wait a minute, Jesus. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answers him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel." It's almost as he's saying, don't miss this, Nicodemus. Don't miss it. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows," here's his illustration, "the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Paul might say it this way, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus asks the question then, how can these things be? And Jesus says, wait a minute, Nicodemus. You are the teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? You're this great teacher of Israel, and you don't know? Most assuredly, verse 11, "I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who has come down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven." What does Jesus want Nicodemus and us to understand? The Lord knows my motives. Nicodemus, the Lord knows your motives. The Lord knows why you're here. That's why He can answer your question without you even asking it. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven, Nicodemus, by being born into it like that of Israel. Physically. You can't enter the kingdom of God just because you follow the laws or the rules like most of the Pharisees do. Remember Joseph in Genesis chapter 39? Remember how, you know, he'd been sold into slavery and his brothers hated him. He ended up at Potiphar's house. And even at Potiphar's house, God blessed him. Yet Mrs. Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, she really liked Joseph. And she took a liking to him. And she kept after him day after day after day after day after day after day. Are you with me? After day, constantly, to get him to lie with her. I want you to notice two things about Genesis 39. Number one, I want you to notice what Joseph did say and what Joseph did not say. Number one, what he did say. Joseph said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" That's what he did say. Notice that Joseph, he did not say, "Well, Mrs. Potiphar, you know, this is not the right thing to do. I can't do it. Well, Mrs. Potiphar, if I do this, I'm going to break the law. So I can't do it. Well, you know, are you with me? I might get in trouble. So I can't do it." Now, all of those would have been good answers, okay? There's nothing wrong with wanting to do what's right and not be in trouble and those kinds of things. But I want you to notice the deep foundation of where Joseph was and how he made his decision. Joseph was more concerned with pleasing or disappointing God than he was all that other stuff. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The Lord wants your belief, Nicodemus, in Him to lead to true obedience. In other words, He wants you, Nicodemus, to be all in. Belief is good, but it's not enough. James chapter 2 and verse 19, you believe? You do well. You believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But the Lord wants us all in. Why? Verse 14 and following. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Why? Because the Lord loves man. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, here it is, might be saved. Wow. What a story for Nicodemus, and what a story for us, and what a story for this world. God loves you so much, Nicodemus. God loves you so much, world, that He sent His Son into the world to live, to be born, to grow up as a child, to decide, Luke chapter 2, I must be about my Father's business, to teach about the church, to teach about who God really is, to establish the kingdom of God on earth, the church. And then, when the time had come, to go to that cross and stretch His arms out and say, world, don't miss it, world. I do this because I love you. Verse 14, Jesus uses a story that Nicodemus would have been, he would have known all about. Remember back in Numbers chapter 21? Do you remember when the children of Israel was in the wilderness wandering? And do you remember, if you go back and look at Numbers 21, here's what it says. The children of Israel sinned against God by speaking out against God. And as a result, God sent down fiery serpents, and they began to bite the people who had sinned. Many of them died. And they come to Moses, and they cry out to Moses, and they said, they repent, and they said, Moses, pray to God. This is a whole other study right here. Pray to God that he will take away the serpents. So Moses goes and prays to God. And here's the interesting thing about that. God didn't take away the serpents. God provided a way. And here was the way. Create this brass, this serpent of bronze, this fiery serpent of bronze. Put it on the staff. Hold it up. Those who have been bitten, when they come by and they look at it, he shall live, is what the Bible says. Nicodemus would have known that story. And he says, Nicodemus, I know your heart. In the same way, the Son of Man will be lifted up on a tree to hang before the world to say, I love you. To say, I want you to be all in. I want you to be more committed to me. And obeying me. And living for me. Than worrying about all this other stuff, Nicodemus. And for us. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What was the point for Nicodemus? Here it is. It will be on the screen for the next few moments. Because I think this is key. It's about believing that will lead to transformation and a life of obedience. That's the point. Do you believe? Are you ready to be transformed? Because that's what God wants. That's what Jesus wanted Nicodemus to understand. That's what Jesus wants us to understand today. Your belief, that's good. But I want a belief that will lead to transformation and a life of obedience. Next few verses and we'll be done. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. That the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Did you see what Jesus did? He sums up these verses by mentioning two things. The light, Jesus, had come into the world, but man loved darkness. And here's the greatest love story of all time. God sent Jesus anyway. God sent him anyway. Because he loves man. He loves mankind. Second thing, what was Jesus saying by saying those who believed are not condemned, those who do not believe are condemned? Look at it. This is the condemnation. Light is coming to the world, men love darkness rather than light, because, don't miss it, their deeds are evil. So the unbelieving are condemned. Why? Because their deeds are evil. The believing are not condemned. Why? Verse 21. But he does the truth, comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen. Now, I don't believe Jesus is teaching Nicodemus that you have to work your way into salvation. Paul dealt with that same issue. But here's what I do think. Jesus wants our belief in him to lead to transformation through obedience. I believe and I obey and I live a transformed life out there in the dark world. Guess what? Why? Because the world, man, loves darkness because his deeds are evil. They need an example. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to talk about Hebrews tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Those people were not perfect. Hebrews chapter 11. Those men and women of faith, guess what? They lived in a dark world. God knew that man would love darkness. And he sent his son anyway. So what's the point for you and us, you and I? The Lord knows man. The Lord knows the heart of man, and he sent Jesus into this world because he loves us. And he wants our belief in him to lead to transformation and obedience. As we live before this world, the Bible teaches, similar to what Jesus said, if you want to be in the kingdom of God, in a sense, you have to be born again. And I don't mean born again like the religious world uses born again, because I believe they smear it and mess it up. The book of Acts, all of Paul's writings and the rest of the New Testament teach us that your belief leads you to be transformed and die, because that's what God asks us to do, in those watery graves of baptism, to rise what? In newness of life. Not because I took a dip in the water, but because of my belief, I'm allowing Jesus to transform my life, so when I walk out of this building and when I walk from studying my Bible, I can live that transformed life before people who love darkness. I may be the only flashlight spiritually that they ever see. Have you done that today? Have you done that? If you're not a child of God, here's what I want you to do. If you're not a Christian, listen to me. Wednesday night, we talked about your life is a vapor. Are you with me? If you're not a Christian, listen to me. Wednesday night, we talked about your life is a vapor. The Bible tells us, John 2 and 3, the Lord knows man. He knows what motivates man. And this is what the Lord has said. I loved you so much, I died for you. Will you die to yourself by being buried in baptism, to rise in newness of life, to go on your way rejoicing, knowing your name is written in the book of life? If you've not done that, please do that this morning. If you have done that, maybe it is, there's been some love issue in your life that has pulled you away from the one who will never turn away from you, who will never stop loving you. But for whatever reason, you have allowed Satan or something else to pull you away from the one who loves you the most. Here's the key. What does Jesus, what does God want from us? God wants us to be all in. Here it is. He wants us to be all in because He is all in. You need to respond to the Lord's invitation. Come forward and let us help you as together we stand and sing.
Coming home, coming.